Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. We have a ton to get to. I think the place to begin is college football. Don't you guys think so? So as of right now, okay, there is no vote in from the Big Ten, but the Pac-12 is going to meet on Tuesday and vote on their season. The assumption is the Big Ten will vote at some time in the near future. What has changed is now you have Trevor Lawrence being joined by James Franklin, coach of Penn State, Scott Frost, coach of Nebraska, and Donald Trump, president of the United States, in the "We Want to Play." Like this is, it's become political. It's become, it's really interesting, fascinating, in fact, because if you get down to it, like one of the things that we've been told is, hey, athletes need their voices to be heard. But apparently many of the people who want athletes' voices to be heard only want them to speak on certain issues, name, image, and likeness, right? Not on whether or not they want to play during the COVID-19 pandemic crisis. That part, they're just kids. They don't know any better, right? I've seen Dennis Dodd wrote an article like, hey, the adults have to step in here. But wait a second. When the adults stepped in on other stuff, you don't like what the adults have to say. Which is it? Make up your mind. And I thought, and does it agree with my point? Sure. That makes it easier for me to echo it. But I do think that it's a smart statement to paint the picture accurately, which is no one's saying that it's not dangerous. No one's saying that you want to get it. But the idea that you're more likely to get it in a controlled environment like a college football program as opposed to an uncontrolled environment like being at home, in addition to all the other unintended consequences. Like, look, if they play, they will still lose money. They're still going to lose a lot of money. Now, they may lose slightly less. I'm not sure. You know, they just might. I think you'll see elimination of a lot of other programs if they don't play, and a lot of jobs as well. Look, if they don't play college football, I've been told that ESPN will have to either fire or furlough 30% of their behind-the-scenes people. That's how in on college football they are. Then you go through college campuses, and you start to get like, look, they have these bloated athletic departments because all they do is support all these kids, and they try and get, you know, as many different people with hands on them as they possibly can to make their lives better, make their careers easier to obtain. But it's really hard to employ those people when you're not having a season. Academic advisors. The chef for the training table. All of the trainers. All of the coaches. All of the administrators. All the game day staff, the marketing people, there's nothing to market. There's no job to be had. Like, do people actually have any understanding of all of the things affected? You're already, if you don't have fans there, affecting all the restaurants and businesses, potentially, in terms of people, hotels, people coming in and out of town. Now you can affect all the people on campus? Do you understand the potential damage that you're doing and for what? Are college football players worth protecting? Yes. Are you actually protecting them more if you send them home? No. But the difference is nobody wants to be liable, right? I mean, University of Oklahoma had 19 kids with COVID when they first arrived on campus. They have zero now. Why'd they have COVID before they got to campus? Because their homes are uncontrolled environment. Because they're not on quarantine. They're not isolated. Is that you, Dan? Did you want to hop in here? Or is that you, Ryan? Okay. So, you know, when Clemson had what, like 23 kids, 24 kids that had COVID when they got there. Like, you are, in fact, it's really hard. You're safer, but the liability falls on who's ever home you're in, right? That's what happens. The liability falls in the lap of whomever your house they're in. It's like the old, like, this is honestly the problem with the tort reform that's needed in our legal system. If somebody breaks into your house and trips and falls and breaks their ankle, right? They're laying there breathing in pain. And even though they broke into their house and they get up and they hobble away and they get to their getaway car and maybe they drive left footed because they broke their right ankle. And instead of making off of your TV, they just grabbed some jewelry and went out the door. They can sue you because they broke their ankle in your house. Right? It's one of the things. It's like I don't know if you have a pool at your house. We've had a pool at a couple of houses that we rented, not houses that we've owned. We desperately want a house with a pool. Well, the good thing about a pool is you want kids, when they especially become teenagers, to come to your house. Because then again, controlled environment. Actually, this is the best analogy I can give you for why college football should be played. You ready? All right, Elijah, you rolling on this? Music, you got this? This is the perfect analogy. Okay. If you have a pool at your house, the good news is that's where kids are going to go, right? You got a ping pong table, you got a basketball hoop, you got a little cornhole, you got a trampoline, you got a pool. So the good news is that all the kids come to your house and it's a controlled environment. Like, the fear is they become high school kids and somebody's going to bring booze, somebody's going to bring one of two kinds of cigarettes, right? And if you're not there, you can't adjust who the crowd is that's there. You can't adjust how your kids, is there alcohol present? You know, what the girls are wearing, how the boys are talking, what everybody's doing. You're just setting them off into a free environment. Your neighbor, who you may know really well, lives three doors down, has a pool, has a hoop. You don't have a pool. Okay, now the only downside to having a pool is if somebody drowns, it's on you. Same thing with a trampoline. Like, why don't people have trampolines? And the reason I was totally down on having a trampoline, I didn't want to have a trampoline forever, was, anytime I've ever been on a trampoline, somebody gets hurt. And if somebody gets hurt who doesn't have my last name, I'm going to have to pay for it, right? It's my liability. And that's what's keeping colleges from committing to football. It's not because you're any more likely to get hurt. It's not because you're any more likely to drown in the pool. It's just because it's on their watch. And the last thing that they want, especially when they're making less money than they've ever made on college football, they can't generate nearly the income on students on campus because so many have stayed home or decided to take a year off or want to take online classes. What they can't do is take on all of that liability. So it's a fascinating time. The Big Ten has not had an official vote among presidents and chancellors, even though it was reported that it was 12-2 by one website. President Trump tweeted, "The student athletes have been working too hard for their season to be canceled. Hashtag we want to play," which "we want to play" is a hashtag that was started by Trevor Lawrence. And many of the top players and coaches in the country have supported playing a season this fall. Ryan Day from Ohio State, their head coach, "swinging as hard as we possibly can right now for these players. This isn't over. Hashtag fight." And Jim Harbaugh had a lengthy statement today about why they should play football this fall as well. So Ohio State and Michigan can argue about anything, get along with zero except for this topic. This is Scott Frost, head coach, former player at Nebraska, head coach in Nebraska, with his thoughts on playing.
"We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I hope that's what happens. Our university is committed to playing no matter what that looks like and how that looks. We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how all those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options."
Yeah, we'll play anywhere. Anywhere, anytime, any place. And it's important to them. Huh. It's fascinating. So where are we? We're still at the same place. Nothing has been canceled. The gloom and doomers say the cancellations are coming tomorrow, but it hasn't occurred as of yet. Not yet. Not yet. And would Nebraska go back to the Big 12 for a year? And what would the Big 10 do? You know, Jim Delaney just retired. Their longtime commissioner of the Big 10. Just a brilliant, brilliant man. He retires. You got a brand new commissioner. There's some serious NBA beef going down in Orlando. I'll dive into that next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Beef! It is what's for dinner, kids. Did you guys watch this weekend? I think it was Friday. Was it Friday? Clippers to Saturday. The days do run into each other. We'd all agree on that. Saturday, Clippers took on the Trailblazers. Trailblazers trying for the 8 seed. Remember, the 9 and the 8 are going to play, I think, potentially two games. And the Clippers actually pulled their starters, and Landry Shamet and the backups end up taking down Portland. And, you know, part of the beef was start between the Trailblazers and the Clippers was started because Patrick Beverley was doing his Patrick Beverley thing, right? He was doing his Dame time, mocking Dame time, Damian Lillard. So this was Damian Lillard discussing the trash talk he received from Pat Beverley and Paul George.
Asking me about Patrick Beverley, who I sent him home before at the end of a game. Paul George just got sent home by me last year in the playoffs. So they know that the reason they're reacting like that is because of what they expect from me, which is a sign of respect. And it just shows what I've done at a high clip more times than not. So I'm not offended by it. And if anything, it should just tell you how much it hurt them to go through what I put them through in those situations previously.
I love it, right? That it's the old, if you're asked, if you don't do steroids and somebody goes, are you on steroids? It's actually respect, right? Like, damn, you look so big or you've gotten so big that you must be on something. Like, no, I'm not, right? If you didn't cheat on a test and you get an A and you're just depressed, like, did you cheat on that? Like, nah. Like, wow, that's actually, instead of taking it as you saying I cheated. That's how Damian Lillard takes it. And he does, there's the backhanded compliment to it, like, yeah, and that's what they can't expect because I sent their ass home. So, so of course, Paul George takes to social media and says, and you getting sent home this year, hashtag, and then he did respect with the black fist. Damian Lillard, keep switching teams. Keep running from the grind. Your boys is chumps. It went on. It got a little uglier. Women got involved. People talking about other people's women. That goes to a place that you shouldn't go to. But I love it. The only problem is the Clippers aren't going to play the Trailblazers unless the Trailblazers take care of the Lakers, which is highly unlikely to happen. As much as we're down on the Lakers, the fact is that there's no good matchup for the Trailblazers to guard LeBron. You know, Zach Collins, Carmelo Anthony, they can't do it. I don't think you put Nurkic on him, then who guards Anthony Davis? Like, there's just no good matchup there. There's not a great matchup, obviously, for Damian Lillard, and he could go crazy, but we've seen Damian Lillard, though he makes a ton of big shots, can be marginalized some in the NBA playoffs, especially when you can corral him. Now, it's harder now because Collins is back, you know, because Nurkic is back, but it doesn't make them unbeatable. Case in point, that Clipper game should have been effectively over when the Clippers pulled their starters, but it was not.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Byron, I'm interested. Where are you in the college football thing?
You know, it was a big topic yesterday on our show, and I don't think that the COVID situation is what is, you know, the whole issue of the health of players is the entire reason that presidents don't want to play. I think it's the factor of so many things. And if it wasn't the student or the student athletes trying to get together, trying to do their things, having their demands with all of those, I think that has become a factor. Yeah, I just think that there's a lot more involved. I don't think it's just the actual COVID-19 numbers.
I think you got guys that, you know, it's interesting. I do think that presence, I don't like the idea that people say, well, you know, these people, they don't care anything about the kids. Like, they do. There's, you know, it's like, if they really cared about the kids, they wouldn't have them playing football.
Sure.
Like, you know, yeah. Football is inherently dangerous. There's at least a kid a year who's paralyzed playing football, right? We've seen enough of these kids.
Injury rates, 100%.
Yes, yes. It's a lot like the death rate in life. It's 100%, right? So I think that there's a lot of one CYA, the possible liability. Two, there is this, and I had heard it going back to last week, like, hey, got a little heads up for you. Heard there's a report out of the Big Ten that there's some sort of heart issue that can, in limited cases, occur after you have COVID, and they're concerned about some of the bigger kids on a team, i.e. linemen, and you know, some of the big giants, whatever. I thought that was interesting. So I think there's some liability. I think there's some optics questions, you know, with having kids play. I don't think it actually matters. You amateur, pro, whatever, like, we're getting away from how college football is not really part of the university with the exception of classes. You know, they represent the university and there's some integration at parties and hanging out on campus, but they can kind of separate themselves. But as long as you're in class and you're eligible, right? So if you're in class and you're taking online classes, so is everybody else, why can't you play football? But I just think they're battling optics. I think the COVID thing is real in terms of the heart issue. I think they don't want the liability. I think there's a bunch of, and they also, nobody wants to look a fool. And so, you know, they're to the point to where you don't want to say we're a go, and then 3-4 weeks in, you cancel. You don't want to be the team, the sport that cancels their season 4 weeks
in. I agree with you 100%. All of that is included. That's why I just, you know, we try to place blame on people so much of saying, but I just, it's not just one thing. It's not, and I don't know.
It's never just one thing. You're right. You're so right. It's never just, we always want to make it so easy. And these decisions are not easy. They're just not. That's probably why they didn't do a vote today, because last night, and this is where the report of the vote, and I know Dan Patrick's come out and said, hey, look, I've heard they're going to cancel tomorrow. That might have been true at the time in which Dan Patrick did the Dan Patrick Show, and he's got really good sources. On the other hand, that was before James Franklin, the president, and the head kick, Scott Frost, the coach of Nebraska. They all come out like, hey, we want to play. That was before that. And now, let's have another discussion about it. Things evolve. These are really interesting times. Good job, Dan. We'll hear from him in the press. Let's welcome in Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1, Bleacher Report. Any idea what really happened with DeAndre Ayton and that he missed a test yesterday?
I do not, but keep in mind, this is not the first time that there's been some questions about what DeAndre is doing and what his habits are. But I do not know specifically in this case exactly what it is. I do know, you know, I don't know, and I'm, you can connect the dots if you want to. I'm not necessarily suggesting that you should, but I was told the other day that the league is not testing whatever tests that they're doing. They are not testing for the use of marijuana in the bubble. And so the happiest place on earth has truly become the happiest place on earth for certain NBA players.
That's amazing. Not to say anybody specifically, but just to say, hey, here's a little factoid. Weed isn't legal in Florida, is it? Like, you can't, like in California, no, you, I, like, I, as you know, you can just go down
Colorado,
the street.
California, Oregon, am I missing one? Those are the three that I know of.
There's more than that, but yeah, Nevada is definitely legal. That is like,
okay, all right, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
so
anyway, I haven't been keeping it's not, you know, I don't make my travel plans based on where weed is legal, so it's not something that it's for most in my mind.
Draymond comes out, the Suns are undefeated in the bubble. Draymond comes out and says, hey, we need to get Devin Booker out of Phoenix. He gets fined $50,000. Look, I thought Draymond was good, he's totally likable. Yeah. And he's not saying anything that dudes aren't. That's what dudes say all the time, out of respect, you know, for guys.
Right.
But
sure,
to say it on TV is not. And how does he only get to $50,000? Like, and I get Magic Johnson was running a franchise at the time, but dude, you can't do that. What Draymond did.
Yeah, no, you can't. And I think that I believe that that is the minimum. A player can't appeal if it's $50,000. If it goes above that, they can appeal and it becomes an issue. And I think the league wanted to slap his wrist and then keep it moving and not make too much of what he said and drag it out. That said, look, that's where guys go on TV. I mean, we see it all the time. Guys go on TV or they suddenly are in the public eye and they just kind of get comfortable and let it rip. And then they find out that, you know, sometimes you have to make conscious decisions about what you are going to say or not say on TV or radio. Kind of like I did with your question about DeAndre.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Very good. Very artfully done. Artfully done. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Rick Bucher. New Orleans is out of the playoffs. They're shutting all their guys down for the last game. Yeah. I just wonder, like, what now for that organization?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to go back to something that I was told going into this, which was while the league and fans and everybody was excited about the Pelicans possibly making the playoffs and extending the season and more of Zion, that was never really a heartfelt desire by the New Orleans Pelicans as a whole. I'm not going to say that some of the players, you know, Al Gentry, I don't know definitively that it was a conscious, collective, concerted effort, but I do know that there were mixed feelings about the value of just going to the wall to try to gain a playoff spot and how to use Zion, because the reality is, and you talked about it, I know you see it, Doug. I don't know how many people, mainstream fans, grasp it, but Zion isn't ready to play extensive minutes in an NBA game. And once again, you know, we took Instagram posts and photos and Zion, and everybody got all excited, hot and bothered. Look, he's in shape. Like, he took a photo and he looks good. And then you get a guy on the court and you find out that how you look in a picture is not necessarily how you look running up and down, going 100 miles an hour. And so I look at it and the result kind of reminds me of what I was told from the very beginning, which was the Pelicans would be perfectly okay with going down there, getting some time in, getting some work in, but that advancing or making the playoffs or grabbing that eighth spot really wasn't top of mind, wasn't an absolute priority for the franchise. So I believe that this was planned, and the idea is, okay, let's look at what we've got. And the number one thing is, how do we develop Zion? How do we get him in physically better shape? Everything trickles down from there. You have to make a decision on, one, how you're going to do that, and then how he fits into the rest of your team. And that for me is the first and last and only thing that the Pelicans really need to concentrate on this offseason.
Rick Bucher from Bleach Report joining us, Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. There is some beef between the Clippers and the Blazers. Let me start with the Blazers. I know Barkley was told to make a bold prediction. He said that the Blazers are going to beat the Lakers.
Yes, and now he's doubled down.
Now he's
winning the championship.
Yes, now he's doubled down. I like the Blazers story, but they were beaten by the Clipper backups, and they have no good matchup for LeBron James. None. They have nobody. I feel like everybody's missing how bad a matchup that is.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's going to have a huge influence on that series. I also think it's why I think the Lakers should win the series, but it is going to require a lot of effort and energy from LeBron James to do that, and more effort and energy than he's used to giving in first round series. If you go and look at his history, only the Pacers took him to seven games. Otherwise it's been four game sweep, five game sweep. And it wasn't a whole lot of heavy lifting for him. So I don't see the Blazers necessarily knocking them off. Although the way the Lakers are playing collectively, I can't completely discount it, because I do think there are some matchups that the Blazers can exploit. I think their bigs overall are better. I'll be interested to see you know, how they approach Anthony Davis, and if you're asking Anthony Davis to go win you a series or just a game or two in a series, how that's going to happen. So there are reasons for me to think that that would be a very competitive series. But even if it's even if the Lakers do end up winning and it's merely competitive and not fatal, I still think it's going to take something out of LeBron James that the Lakers would prefer him to have taken out of him.
No question. What is wrong with the Lakers?
One, it's taking them a while to get restarted. I think some of that is because of their age. I got to come down. It all comes back to LeBron James. And I think you said it, and I think you rightly said it. We give him all the credit in the world. He was at the top of my MVP ballot because for the regular season, I thought he had the most to do with the Lakers winning the West, which no one ever would have thought they could. And if you take him away, I don't think they come close to doing that. So there is that. But ultimately, the way that he has approached this, where he's being very judicious in how much energy he's exerting, he's not shooting the three ball well, he's settling at times for shots, and there's been this effort to like get Anthony Davis going and some other guys going, or to have them carry the load. And so they're fractured right now because those guys are not there. Danny Green isn't ready to play. I mean, he's I think 32. He's an old 32. It takes a while to get that engine started up again. Anthony Davis goes as the team goes. If the team plays well, he will play well. And that's not just for this year. That's been every year that Anthony Davis has played. When the team is going well, he is going to amplify and supplement that. When it's not, you don't look to him to pick up a team that's dragging and get them somewhere. It's just simply not what he has been. So now LeBron is looking, is not really on his game, his A game, and he's looking for other guys to step up. And they're simply not there. And keep in mind, this is also, you take out Rajon Rondo, you take out Avery Bradley. I know those aren't big names, but you could always look to somebody somewhere who was going to give you something, and you could spin the roulette wheel, and it was going to come up on somebody. Well, now the guys that are there are not coming through, and you have less choices to pick from to say, okay, well, this guy doesn't have it going. Maybe I can go to this guy. And the last time we saw them, Avery Bradley had it going pretty well,
yep.
And it, I think, covered up a lot of other issues that they had.
No, I agree with you on all parts of that, and I wonder with this flawed team what it looks like when you get to the playoffs. Even though I love that Portland matchup, it's like at some point in time he gets worn down, and the stats will show you when he doesn't play at a high level, they're not very good, and vice versa.
High efficient level, and at both ends of the floor. They're just simply, they're not the same player and same team. And by the way, for anybody, you know, the Lakers fans out there are saying, hey, we clinched the number one seed. It's the bubble. These don't count. When we turn the lights on, that's when we'll get going. This is not that, because I would give you that if we were playing continuously. But you're coming off of a 3-month layoff, and you need to get back to playing the way you did before. You don't just, I don't know that you ever can just flip that switch, but you certainly can't flip that switch after 3 months. What you did during the regular season means nothing at this point. There is no, absolutely no guarantee that when we get to the first round, that the Lakers are suddenly going to start playing again the same way we saw them playing in February and March. There is the idea that all they have to do is, like, you know, buckle down and focus. There's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, they're not good enough to flip the switch, right? That's nope. Not, they are not good enough to flip the switch at all. Ben Simmons is hurt again. Mm-hmm. And so I like, for the longest time, it was, hey, I like Embiid as a breakthrough, unique breakthrough player, but I'm afraid he's going to be hurt. And the argument with Simmons is attitude. Do guys like him? How hard does he work? And now it feels to be the opposite, right? Embiid sometimes doesn't bring it, and it's Ben Simmons who's always hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, look, here's the heart of the issue. And Terry Stotts said it about Damian Lillard. Your best player has to be your hardest worker.
Yep.
And
you are who your best player is, by the way. That there's another way of expressing it. If your best player is a hard worker, your team will work hard. If your best player is soft, your team's going to be soft, et cetera, et cetera.
And if your best player accepts criticism and steps up, if you can coach your best player, then you're going to go somewhere as well. And you need no more. You don't need to know any more about the flaw in the Philadelphia 76ers in that Ben Simmons has had all this time to develop a jump shot and that his coach has asked him to develop a jump shot and has protected him from criticism of not having a jump shot. And still Ben Simmons has acted as if it is not a requisite for him as a point guard or a floor leader or simply to make the 76ers as good as they can be to get a jump shot. Who else, how does Brett Brown or anybody in the Sixers organization go to anybody else on that team and say, you know what, you need to do this better. You need to develop this in your game. When your leader, your best player, arguably, has not done that. And then if you go to the next guy, and I've always said, you know, I would move Simmons and I would build around Embiid because I think he's the talent-wise, he's the best player at his position. But Embiid is, as you noted, he's the same way. He's not necessarily your hardest worker. He's another guy we saw photos of during the break about how conditioned he was. And I watch him play, and I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing a guy who's ultra conditioned. And so that's where it starts. I mean, whether it's Embiid or whether it's Simmons, Philadelphia fans don't want to hear this, and I hate saying it because they lost for 4 years to get this. This, if you think this is going to get you a championship, you're sadly mistaken. You might as well blow it up and start over again because you're not winning a championship with Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons as the best player on your team.
I tend to agree with you. If there's one team that can come out of the East not named the Bucks, it's who?
I'm still going to say the Toronto Raptors, even though I really didn't like the way they looked in the matchups with the Boston Celtics. I do think a lot of these playoffs are going to be determined by who sees who when, that matchups are going to play a big role. But I look at the versatility of the Raptors and I look at their mindset for the most part and their experience, their collective experience in the playoffs. They seem to be healthy. There's a resolve there that I like the Miami Heat. I don't think they have enough dribble penetration. I don't think they have that one guy who sets everything else up, and they're relying on a lot of young guys who've never played a playoff game before. So I really can't go there. So I'm going to stick with the Toronto Raptors as my dark horse pick if a defending champion can be that.
Awesome stuff. Toronto Raptors would be fascinating. I don't know how much, what it looks like in the postseason, what it looks like in those specific matchups. Because it's such a different sport. Buke, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for joining us.
You got it, Doug.
All right, that's Rick Bucher from Bleacher Report. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, we will get to the press. And, man, we got a lot of stories that Dan Byer is going to get to. We'll cover them on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every single day at this time, we get you up to date on the stories. Today, we do so by getting to the press.
The press.
Boy, DG here. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to leave the house. Rediscover the road. The first ever Mazda CX-30 is made for people who love to drive. If that's you, then go to MazdaUSA.com and learn more about the entire Mazda CUV lineup and available finance options. Dan Byer, what do you got?
Doug, news just in from College Football Stadium reporting that the Mountain West Conference will postpone their fall football season with hopes of playing in the spring. That's from the
Mountain
West.
You want to climb that mountain? I'll wait till the spring.
Ohio State head coach Ryan Day told ESPN he thinks the league should postpone the start of the season if needed and not cancel it, calling the cancellation possibility, quote, abrupt, end quote.
This goes along. I definitely think it'll be the P word, not the C word, in terms of postpone, not canceled. But the issue is, supposedly later in the year you get to, that gets the cold and flu season, right? And then you get the backed up, and how that all looks, going to be interesting.
I just don't know how you could play Big Ten games in certain places prior to March 1st. It just, you never know with the weather, with the weather-wise. Like, I mean, Doug, I remember days February 26th, February 28th, below zero. You know, like it's...
They can play football there. I mean, they can be done.
I mean,
the question is, do you put it on the other side of basketball, which, you know, their thought is a lot of players won't play, but, you know, you play spring football. I don't know.
Maybe play it inside the workout facilities if you can.
Good, yeah.
You know?
I mean, like, look, if you don't have, you're not going to have fans.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't
have
fans, play inside those facilities.
Right.
Yahoo Sports says the ACC ADs met today. They will continue to move forward with their college football season. Reports
says
presidents.
We finally got Notre Dame on the hook. Okay. You think we're canceling the stamp season?
Right.
Get out of here.
All right. Let's get to some NBA stuff.
We're going to have two seasons. We're going to play back-to-back seasons. We got Notre Dame on the hook.
Suns 6-0. Devin Booker at 35, 6-0 in the bubble. They Phoenix today topped the Thunder 128-101. Phoenix just a half game back of Portland for the 9 seed and a game back of Memphis for the 8 seed.
Oh, man. Can you imagine? Like, everybody's been like, oh, watch out for Portland. Watch out for Portland. Like,
that's pretty cool.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know what they've done? They've risen from the ashes.
Oh, very good. I like that.
Nice.
A little mythology reference to you there.
It's over, Johnny.
The Bucks are without Giannis tonight against the Raptors. There is a note here, oral surgery for Giannis that was conducted with inside the NBA bubble, so you will not have to go through any quarantine procedures to return to the team.
Oral surgery. Yeah.
It was performed by Dr. J. That's who, just kidding. I.
That was
Julius.
Yes.
Come on over here.
So Portland has Dallas remaining, right? And they have Brooklyn, who Brooklyn is playing like no-namers, but they're playing super hard. This is going to be interesting. Wow.
Dallas, by the way, beat Utah today without Luka or Kristaps Porzingis playing.
Huh. 122. Does Dallas play their guys tomorrow? That's the big question, right?
Yay. Yes, 122-114 was that final. Quick other note, let's go Warriors.com saying that Warriors guard Steph Curry going to get his own brand under the Under Armour umbrella with his future merchandise showcasing his personal logo, Doug, not the Under Armour logo. Move kind of similar to the Jumpman Jordan brand that Jordan had with Nike. Steph Curry's going to get it with Under Armour.
Steve Curry.
Yeah, it's kind of going to be fascinating to see what they've done. You know, the one shoes everybody clowned, but the recent shoes are much better. He is incredibly, intensely popular. This is their way of, you know, he potentially could have opted out because their stock had dropped way down and Kevin Plank had to resign. But he's got his own brand, which is, the problem is still it's Under Armour brand, even if it's got, you throw an SC logo on it. So I don't know if they sell any better.
Steph got you.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
All right, good show today. If you missed any of it, download the podcast, got hour by hour, and of course got the full show podcast as well. Thought Dan was great. Look, we'll find out tomorrow on, we think, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. And then, of course, do the Big Ten schools have a wandering eye? We still want to play football like Nebraska. It's evolving, which is why they hadn't made decisions up until now. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.